This is Catherine Fabrizio with Daughters Rising, with help for the good daughter suffering from the good daughter syndrome. Daughters of the lie, lies your mother told you and the truth that will set you free. I know what I should do. I just can't make myself do what I need to do. After 30 years of listening to women in psychotherapy, I've heard the same problems over and over. The mother who can't stop micromanaging her child and wonders why she's floundering. The wife who's stuck in a loveless marriage, doing it all and can't bring herself to leave. The single mother who always gives more than she gets and settles for far less than she should. They all know what they should do, but they can't bring themselves to do what they know. The voice of self-doubt drags down many of these women and pins them to lives that are far less meaningful and satisfying than they could be. But where is this voice of self-doubt coming from? This voice is no stranger. In fact, the voice whispering at the edge of my client's awareness is the first voice she ever heard. It's the same voice that soothed, comforted, and encouraged her. This voice was the voice who first delighted in her daughter's very existence. This is the voice and face of her first love. This is the voice of the mother. How can a mother who loves her daughter harm her? Most likely she wouldn't, not unless she was harmed herself and carries this hurt at the unconscious level. You see, many times mom herself was confused. She was trying to meet the impossible standards expected of women in her time. She was trying to live up to the patriarchal ideal of femininity and motherhood. According to this patriarchal standard of a good mother, mom must be selfless. Likewise, she must be pretty and demure enough to attract a man, but she mustn't be a sexual creature. Anything else and she was considered cheap and or easy. She walked a fine line between pretty and slutty, womanly and chaste. A fine line to walk indeed, since she was held responsible for the behavior she presumably evoked. Mom had no choice but to buy into the rules. Mom didn't make the rules, she obeyed them. She saw firsthand the women who dared to break them. She saw the friend who became pregnant fall into poverty, her hopes and dreams of economic security dashed. She saw the woman who dared to divorce a husband who beat her, shunned by her fellow church friends or neighbors. At work, mom was expected to deny herself. No one wanted to know about her discomfort. She suffered through controlled top pantyhose and high heels that pinched. Power suits, her only armor, as she fought for relevance in the male-dominated and created world of work. Mom frequently bumped her head on invisible glass ceilings that held her back and down. Shoulder pads in fashion at the time squared her shoulders as she also shouldered the lion's share of responsibility at home, many times following that hard day at the office. Double standards were so much the codified norm, mom didn't have to think to question them. Every woman knew implicitly this was the price to pay for having it all. If mom didn't play by the unspoken but keenly felt rules, she suffered. What's more, mom saw firsthand the jealous and petty envy that targeted women who were successful in their own right. And mom became very afraid for her daughters. So, this voice, fearful for her daughter, cautioned her not to be too much, to want too much, or feel too good. The message right at the edge of awareness whispered, to be a good girl and a good daughter, you must not live too large, ask for too much, or be too much trouble. You must put yourself last. This is how a mother passes down the mark of the patriarchy to her daughter. To stay attuned and aligned with mom, her daughter feels the pressure to bear this mark many times at the unconscious level. In this way, mothers and daughters can form an alliance based in their mutual agreement to remain small. To remain undifferentiated and underdeveloped is encouraged. To be good for mom, to remain the good girl, is to carry out the patriarchy's mandate. The payoff for mom is that her daughter, bearing this mark, will never leave. Mom conveys the message that says, as my daughter, you are never to break this spell. As prisoners of this curse, we will stick together, stay asleep, and never grow apart. Our pact is this: you will never grow up completely, and in return, I promise to never leave you. In this way, the mother casts a spell onto her nearest and dearest, her daughter. But leave and be left is the way forward in health. To grow, the daughter must leave, and the mother must release her daughter into her own life. The daughter must grow beyond clinging to and blaming her mother. Instead, she must stop living to please her mother and learn to please herself. To please herself, she must first come to know herself. And to know herself, she must shed the messages of the patriarchy. Some daughters never reach the stage, settle for living small and clinging to mom. It's too scary, too disruptive, too messy to do otherwise. For the evolved daughter who says enough, she has a hard road ahead. She is the one who will pay the price of freedom from the patriarchy. Specifically, she is destined to have to grapple with the patriarchal messages passed down by her own mother. She must navigate this treacherous journey through guilt, sorrow, betrayal, leaving, and being left, all a part of her journey towards freedom. This can be lonely work. Yet engaging with and working through stages of anger and grief is the only way the daughter of the patriarchy can break free. Just as her ancestors were burned by the millions, she must now torch the lies that tell her she isn't good enough, even if those lies come from her own mother. Only then can she burn off the patriarchal untruths to render the truth of love and compassion for herself. Renewed, she will refocus her energies and learn to source her own internal wisdom, the wisdom her mother had to suppress. This is the wisdom of compassion, intuition, and acceptance. The feminine wisdom has lay dormant for centuries, stomped out by the patriarchy. So the daughter of the patriarchy must reach back to a long, long time ago. The daughter of the lie must leave the home of her mother and go home to her true feminine power. She will crawl into the lap of the sacred feminine and rest in the knowledge that she is enough just as she is. When she knows this deep in her bones, she can stop doing and lean into being. Listen rather than broadcast. Respond intuitively rather than control. Her time is now. Then she will fly. Only then can she get her wings back. The wings that were clipped so very long ago, before her mother's time and before her mother's mother's time. All the way home to a time where the true feminine was regarded as powerful and sacred, the mother of all truth.